Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Nigel Malay, the co-host of Race Treaty. Race Treaty radio program highlights the various and daily violations of international law as it relates to racism and human rights here in the United States of America and, in fact, around the world. This will include a focus on white supremacy as systemic, institutional, structural, as well as personal and interpersonal violations. We seek to engage activists, social change agents, and other personalities addressing the issue of the violations of the race treaty, how it can be enforced. We'll also highlight within a 10-year period what is called the United Nations Decade for People of African Descent, 2015 to 2025, which include news, activities that are happening here in the United States of America as well as globally. The Race Treaty Program comes to you on the platform of Black Talk Radio, digital radio station, and is the outreach of Anti-Racist TV. We are happy to be with you this evening, and we have something quite special. We have invited Queen Samaya Mu'ell to be our guest tonight, and we'd like to welcome her to this radio broadcast. Sister Queen Samaya, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, rahmatullah ta'ala, wa barakatuhu. Blessed Yama Juma.
Thank you so, so very much for those wonderful warm Juma greetings. So we spoke the other night, actually through texting, and I came to know that you're going to attend a very special event tomorrow. Before we talk about that event, please tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself and what this event is and why it's important to you.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a believer in the truth and the foundations of Islam. I've been a practicing Muslim for over 30 years. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I took my bay'ah with the murdia of Sheikh Amadou Bamba in 2013. I'm a mother, grandmother, business person, a community activist. I live in the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Been here for 59 years. Tomorrow, with the help of Imam Abdul Malik from Masjid Al-Taqwa in New York, they're having a tribute to Muhammad Ali, Rahimullah, who passed away last year. I was very troubled that I couldn't look at his janazah, but alhamdulillah, the brother saw fit to give him honor and give him a tribute. I know that there's some other organizations that are helping with this cause, from our United Nations building at 5:30, but I know that there are contingents of believers here from the Masjid Allah, the Philadelphia Masjid, which I'm a member of Masjid Allah, that are going to be in attendance of this historical event. There are going to be people from all over the country, I believe all over the world, that will be at the UN tomorrow. So alhamdulillah, I was able to get my clearance to be able to go into the UN to attend this event.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So what is it about this well-known, not only sports figure, but humanitarian and human rights advocate? What is it about him that has got you so excited and committed that you would travel from Philadelphia to New York and give up your day and your time for the
season? Well, really, you know, I was not really in my practice of being a law when Muhammad Ali came on the scene. He, you know, was under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Rahim Allah. And I was a young person, but I saw the brother stand up, you know, because that was all we talked about. Whenever Muhammad Ali was fighting, or Cassius Clay at that time, we were always glued to the TV to see his boxing matches. But I didn't know the effect of him being a Muslim would have an effect on me as I'm standing here today, some 39 years later. So when I think about him and our brother Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, known to the world as Malcolm X, their relationship was very, very close. If you see any photographs of him and our brother Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, you will see that they had a very close relationship. So these were two great African-descended men who stood up in the cause of Islam and weren't afraid. So if I ever get an opportunity to give honor to a great person who did a great work humanitarianly or Islamically or whatever, he was a great father, he was a great Muslim, he was a great leader, he was a great sports person, I'm going to go. And, you know, me being a business person, it gives me an opportunity to take the time off. I don't have to ask anybody, can I take off to go to an event? I'm just going to go. So I'm very excited about it. You know, I have found out about it through Imam Abdul Malik's webcast. He does a podcast once a week. And when they talked about this tribute, I had to find out how that I can go. So there are a lot of movers and shakers that are Masjid Allah. And I knew a brother that knew Muhammad Ali. So I went to him and I said, brother, how can I get to go to the tribute? So he gave me the email address. And from there, it was on after that. You just have to, like, you know, email the email address and then they would send it back to you. And then you had to send them a copy of your state or driver's license identification card. So I'm really excited. You know, I'm planned and can't wait to get up there. I've been in the UN a few times to see Serene Mamour, the leader of the Mourdia from Senegal. So I'm just excited. I'll be up there again to give honor to another great Muslim. So I'm just excited about it.
Thank you for sharing that and sharing that connection. We know that Muhammad Ali was born Cassius Marcellus Clay on the 17th of January, 1952, and returned to Allah on June the 3rd, 2016. Mm-hmm. We also know that that he was a boxer, you know, well known for that. He's widely regarded as one of the most significant and celebrated sports figures of the 20th century, which is quite a feat in of itself. Early in his career, he won so many bouts, inspiring and certainly very controversial and sometimes polarizing figure inside and outside the ring. Muhammad Ali was born in Louisville, Kentucky, and began his training as an amateur boxing when he was 12 years of age. At 18, just 6 years later, he won the golden medal in terms of light heavyweight division. So having this impetus to become a boxer, and then Allah gifted him with the body as well as the intelligence. You know, you can want to do something, but if he was 5'2" in stature, you see, it just wouldn't work well, you know, in the ring. But with the combination of his desire, his natural abilities, his intelligence, his genius, in fact, his will, you know, all those things combined, of course, led him to become the heavyweight champion of the world, I think at least three times. At age 22, in 1964, he won the WBA as well as the WBC and linear heavyweight titles from Sonny Liston, which was quite a feat and looked upon as being an upset of a great magnitude in terms of this young man, you know, coming in and fighting someone who was ferocious. You know, there's no other words that you can say about Liston other than the man was just deadly in the ring and ferocious. But this young man was able to defeat him, not once, but in fact twice. You know, and of course we do remember that he denounced his forced name, English name given to him and people of African descent. And really that the rejection of the name was in fact a pushback to forced assimilation. In international terms, forced assimilation is a human rights violation. According mm-hmm. to Article 27 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, that religious, that ethnic, racial minorities have the right to actually live out their culture and be self-determining in that. And we also know through the acts of slavery and enslavement and terrorism that we as a people have been denied our language, we've been denied our religion, we've been denied our own way of who we are, our personality. And I would probably dare to say that Muhammad Ali was the one, particularly in the public's eye, who stood up for that. So he's become a hero in so many ways. And that is the right of the human being to define himself and to name himself, to speak for himself, instead of being defined and spoken for by others. Would you say that is true?
Oh, yes. I mean, but you have to understand he was under the tutelage of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, excuse me, Al-Haji, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he was also being schooled and taught by Al-Haji Malik al-Shabazz, which is Malcolm X. So he came from a very great teacher, from very strong teachers. And you know that Al-Haji Malik al-Shabazz had already corrected his name. So he got his push from these two great patriarchs of our community and our culture. So, you know, me being in my proper persona, I'm more than happy, more forceful that I'm traveling to the UN in my indigenous name. They're not calling me nobody but Queen Samia Noel. So I'm very excited that the UN saw fit to have me come there. You know, and I think there's going to be some international Muslims there also. So I'm excited. I'm excited because I am a community person. I'm about my culture. You know, I'm traveling with a group of believers that are going to escort us to this magnificent, event. So I'm just really looking forward to that. And I pray a lot to Isla that the people come with the right spirit.
Yes. The fact that you connected the lineage, connected a tradition of wisdom and guidance and teaching, which is so very important that you mentioned that he was a student, of course, of Al-Haji al-Shabazz and Al-Haji Elijah Muhammad. But he took those teachings and he was able to articulate them. And I'm not sure what grade he actually went up to in school, but whatever it was, it didn't make a difference because he was able to articulate his ideas quite well, and certainly being a poet in his own right. But to show that lineage is and why it's so important to have teachers, to have the teacher-student relationship. And I would dare say that that is probably one of the greatest tragedies that we're facing today. Many young people do not have a connection to either adults or elders that would give them the proper guidance and give them the proper information so that they can live the balanced life. As Muhammad Ali was very much in a battle for his name, for his religion, this pushback has been certainly written about. But I think all of us, to some extent, do that, and we do it in different ways, sometimes more harmful to ourselves than towards the people to whom which we are fighting against. And without the proper guidance in order to do that, we wind up creating more harm than good for ourselves. And for you to mention that, I think is so very important. We will remember in terms of fighting that his greatest fight was in fact wasn't even in the ring. In 1966?
Within the federal jurisdiction, and he
Yes.
used a lot
Yeah.
of these laws to fight his case, and I'm thankful. See, when you look at our history, right, even though we know they're in sort of like a de facto situation, how much is this your status to fight for the right, for his faith, for his name, his license back to go back and fight? And he was out of the ring, I believe, 3 to 4 years. I'm not really clear on the history of that. But if you look at that, he was one of the first Muslim Americans to stood on the square and said, I'm not doing it. So I got to go, brother. I have to go. It would be like me going to his janazah, but not really a janazah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, you honoring him.
I've met Sister Khalilah, his first wife. Strong, strong sister. Strong believer in Islam. And when I met her, I was in awe of her presence. So I've had the opportunity to be around the Muhammad Ali legacy, you know, so I'm really honored that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw fit for me to go to be in attendance tomorrow. Also want to say to the believers of the Mu'tadia, we can't sit on the sideline and not be engaged in our communities with our brothers and sisters. Our Islam has to be a point to the point where if you see something good that's good for humanity, that's good for the community, that's good for your neighbors, then you participate in that. And I'm not one of those Muslims that's going to sit back and wait for somebody to give me the okay to do something. That's never been my program. So even though Allah has blessed me to get the teachings of Sheikh Amadou Bamba, Rahimullah, I'm not going to sit back and not be around my family of this diaspora here in the West and not worship with them, not participate in social and our community events. I'm going to be engaged. I did give the juror of the Mu'tadia here the information about the event. I don't know if there are going to be any Murid in attendance. I will be in attendance because he's our brother. He was raised on the Western Hemisphere Islam. He did not accept Islam overseas. He accepted Islam here in the West. I'm a benefactor of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Rahimullah, Noble Jura Ali, Worth Dean Muhammad. I will not let nobody separate me from my Muslim family here in the West. I'm all about the engagement of the African diaspora because I do business and trade with people in Ghana, Senegal, Mali, but I'd be darned if I'm going to let somebody tell me who I can sit with and build a bridge with. I was born in the Islam here in the West. I was raised in the Islam here in the West. So this is a great opportunity for me to go and show the family of the believers here in the Western Hemisphere, here in the Eastern Diaspora, that we raised the flag of Islam here first before y'all was even able to come into our country. So I'm very honored that I'm going to be in the house tomorrow. I'm very, very, very honored that Allah has blessed me to go to this station in my life.
Well, so I'm glad too, sister, because you reminded me of this event. I was sent something, you know, a month or two ago and had forgotten and not remembered when it was. So now I'm saying, okay, let me start packing my bags to go. For those who are just listening in or just tuning in, we're speaking to Queen Samaya Mu'el, who has told us about herself, told us about how she was raised up in the religion of Islam and her relationship to Nation of Islam, as well as Worth D. Muhammad's religious organizations, and her pilgrimage to New York City tomorrow to United Nations. And she gave reference to what Muslims should be doing. And she was really referring to the Quranic reference in Quran number 495. Not equal are the sedentary among the believers who are not handicapped. And those who strive in the course of Allah with their money and their lives. God exalts the strivers with their money and their lives above the sedentary. For both, God promises salvation, but God exalts the strivers over the sedentary with a great recompense. The higher the ranks come from him, as well as forgiveness and mercy. Allah is the forgiver, the most merciful. So those of you who may not be familiar with the Quranic text, certainly that's what she is giving reference to in terms of she's not one to sit at home. She is one to be on the battlefield of life, fighting for divine rights, as well as fighting for human rights. And she is doing that as a testimony in terms of her life and her faith in Allah and his messenger. Belief in his messenger. And so we're happy to be with you. We are speaking about her pilgrimage to the United Nations to honor Muhammad Ali. She also gave reference to the fight outside the ring, his biggest fight. And it was actually 1966, 2 years mm-hmm. after winning the heavyweight title, Ali further antagonized the white establishment in the U.S. by refusing to be conscripted into the U.S. military. A right that he has, and he was a religious leader at the time, citing his religious beliefs in opposition to American involvement in the Vietnam War. And of course, we can spend a whole program on that alone, and we will. We have to do that. He eventually was arrested, found guilty of draft evasion charges, and stripped of his boxing titles. However, through his fight, he successfully appealed to the United States Supreme Court, which overturned his conviction in 1971, by which time he had not fought for nearly 4 years, not just 3, but 4 years, robbing him of the youth and vitality of the prime, of his prime in terms of as a boxer, losing a period of his peak performance as an athlete. Ali's actions as a conscientious objector to the war made him an icon for the larger the world, not just here, not just for Muslim, but for the world. And because of that, he became the beloved of the world. This is probably one of the most admired human beings in this century, and certainly his courageous, being so courageous to actually fight the greatest, empires, not just the countries, the empire on earth, and that is the United States of America. So Sister Queen Sumaya is making this journey to the United Nations, where he's being honored. Ali is regarded one of the leading heavyweight boxers of the 20th century and remains the three-time lineal heavyweight champion, winning titles in 1964, 1974, and 1978. And, of course, he is well-known for his battles with Joe Frazier, and probably the biggest victory, which was considered to be just totally, impossible, his fight with George Foreman, that took place, in fact, in Africa. Do you remember that fight by any chance?
Fill in the middle, yes, sir. I wasn't Muslim. Yeah, but,
fill in the middle, that was with Joe Frazier, right? We're talking, he called it the Rumble in the Jungle.
The Rumble in the Jungle, I'm getting it all mixed up. Let's tell you, that's that old age talking. But yeah, I remember watching those fights. When you don't have conscious awareness of your culture, you don't understand some things. But I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he blessed me to come into that awareness of self, knowledge of self. But tomorrow is really like an Eid day. It's like to me like a Muslim holiday. So I'm just saying, anytime you get to honor one on your own soil, it's a mercy from Allah. It's a mercy from Allah.
We'd also want to note that he was a philanthropist. He created a foundation. There exists, and I hope to, I haven't journeyed there, but I hope to go to the Muhammad Ali Center, which is a nonprofit museum and cultural center in Louisville, Kentucky. So not only did he, achieve this great status, but he returned home and created something for the community that had not existed before. This is a tremendous tribute of what one does with their wealth, with the wealth that Allah has blessed him with, and how he enriched the community. He didn't just enrich himself. He enriched the community. Now there stands a 6-story, 96,750 square foot museum that was opened up in November 19, 2005 at the cost of $80 million. It also includes a 40,000 square foot, two-level amphitheater and a plaza. So this man has left so many legacies behind. But you know what? I was listening to a YouTube recording, and I don't know sure what year it was, and he was in England, and a little boy asked him, what would he do upon retirement? And he went into this long story about speaking the evidence why the Creator exists. He went into, well, there has to be some kind of accountability in one's life. He said, and then he went into finally that when he retires, he will spend his life seeking Allah. And just the way that he broke that down, you know, people were quite surprised to hear that because, you know, they expected him to say, well, I'm going to, you know, retire and I'll go down to the Bahamas. I'll take vacations. He was probably expecting something like that, not knowing that he would, in fact, use that opportunity to give da'wah, to educate people about Islam, about their relationship, you know, with their Lord. That YouTube, people can go to YouTube and find that and be able to reference that material. So I would like to ask you, given you know this conversation that we have, and did we leave anything out? Is there anything else that you would want to bring to the listeners' attention?
I know that Muhammad Ali went made a pilgrimage to Senegal, and I know he met, I don't know if he met with the Grand Caliph of Touba, but there is a photograph of him in Senegal with one of the sheikhs.
Okay, so I need you to hold on for a minute now. Why are you referencing Senegal, and why are you mentioning Muhammad Ali's trip to Senegal? What's in Touba? What is Touba?
Touba is a spiritual holy city for the Mourids in the Bifol of the Mouridia Sufi order of Senegal, of Sri Touba, which is Amadou Bamba. And when I found that out, I was just ecstatic because that is my spiritual center for my spiritual development, me as a Muslima. I was told by Bifol that Sri Manmar, who was the spiritual leader of the Mouridia in Touba, came to the grave of Muhammad Ali, because you know he makes a trip here every year, once a year, to come to see all his followers. And I heard that he had went to the grave of Muhammad Ali to pray for him. So that just really made me love the Mouridia even more. So Muhammad Ali, he's been in mostly every Muslim country there is known to man. I'm pretty sure he's been to Mecca. I don't know if he was El Hajj, I'm not really sure, but I'm pretty sure he was there. He might have made Umrah, I'm not really sure. But I know he's been to every Muslim head of state. Muhammad Ali loved his faith. He was an involved Muslim. He loved his children. He loved his wives, even though he's been married several times. He just loved the Muslim life. And I love what he loved. So, bottom line, this little sister here from South Philadelphia will be making a pilgrimage from Hijra to New York City to pay honor to a Muslim leader, a Muslim family man, a Muslim father, a Muslim husband, because he was a beautiful brother. And I'm thankful to Allah that I got to learn more about him in my studies of Islam.
Okay,
Honestly,
so for a moment there, so to the listening audience, Queen Sumaya had referenced the Mourid Brotherhood, spelled Mourid, the Mourid Brotherhood, Mouridiyya, also known, is a Sufi Muslim fraternal organization that stresses self-help and hard work. Founded in Senegal at the end of the 19th century by Amadou Bamba, a mystic leader and intellectual, and a group that was faced a resistance from the French colonizers until 1926, but he quickly grown to become an influential political as well as social and certainly a spiritual leader. He's headquartered in the Great Mosque of Touba, now receives hundreds of thousands of followers each year during the annual pilgrimage honoring Bamba. Outside Senegal, there is fairly sizable following of this brotherhood in the United States, in Europe, and probably all continents, where disciples often work as street vendors. And this brother is also heavily involved in Senegalese groundnut industry, as has been said. So work is considered to be a bedrock, doing the works of Allah in terms of helping people to have housing, have food, to have security, to have family, and to have the goodness that life is here for us on earth that Allah has provided for us. So there's an international Sufi school of Sheikh Amadou Bama that she is given reference to, and she's a member of the Philadelphia, what is called Dara, or school, a mystical school here in Philadelphia. So for those who had not heard those words and terms before, let me just provide that brief description there. So Sister Queen Samaya Mael, you are certainly one who has given your life to the same cause as Muhammad Ali in terms of the praise and worship of Allah and the service to humanity. And we're so glad that you, in fact, brought this conversation about because through the text that I received from you, that's when I was informed about the event. Mm-hmm. And felt it a need to a capture for our listening audience, and certainly for your family, your tribute to this great man, and why it's important to you. So we do take these broadcasts. They are available to the listening audience by going to Race Treaty, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and if you do a /race treaty/, you would get to all of the podcasts that have been recorded for this particular radio show, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/race treaty/, and that's all one word. In addition to that, we know that when we do broadcast live, our listening audience can call us, and I'm going to give you that number once I find it. It's on here. So.
But I got like a few minutes, brother, because I'm a mother of two disabled children, and they have to get moving out of here so I can get to the masjid and do the things that I got to do for the day to get ready for my children.
Well, you will not have me among those who are stopping the believer to do her work and to get to the masjid for Juma. I will not be counted among that group of people.
I just, because you know my mornings are like, that's why I posted on my Facebook that don't call me after 9:30 because I'm busy in the morning Monday through Friday with the kids, even though they're adults, but they need help getting dressed, getting fed, and. Yeah, you know, thank God I have someone here that is assisting me with one of my children. So now it's like I got to do two people. But yeah, I thank Allah. I thank Allah, brother, that you even reached out. And this is what I want to say to the more dear, is those who are listening. If you live in the United States of America and you're born on this soil, you must get engaged with the uplifting of fallen humanity with your brothers and sisters, whether they are Muslim, Christian, Baha'i, Yoruba, Akan, Rasta, is that it shouldn't matter. What it should matter is that if you see something that's good to humanity, then try to get engaged in it. We tend to get this Sufi knowledge and kind of stay in our own little box, and we don't want to come out and build a bridge. But because I'm a business person and a community person, I believe this is my belief, race first. So I grew up in this culture. I grew up in Philadelphia. There's been a lot of changes in this city. And I can no longer sit on the sideline and wait for the juror or the imam or the sheikh to tell me what to do. I'm a free thinker. I've always been like that. And I thank Allah that I'm going to hopefully remain that way. Because sometimes we get caught up in our own stuff and we think that because we got all the spiritual knowledge, that we just need to sit in the house and just mind our business. If that was the teaching of Sheikh Ahmed Obama, there wouldn't have been a revolution, a spiritual revolution in Senegal. So I'm grateful to have that in my life, but I'm a revolutionary for my people. So if I see something good for humanity and for our community, I'm going to get involved in it. But tomorrow is one of those things that I must do. Because I'm going to have that as a recording in my mind. I was in the UN. I saw the wife of Muhammad Ali, Rahimullah. I got to meet his children. I got to see the children. those things I'm going to tell my great grandchildren. So yes, it's a necessary move, I think, for me. I can't speak for all of the Mu'adhdhia. I can only speak for myself. But we must stop and get involved in the care of humanity here, especially in this city where I live in Philadelphia. Inshallah.
Well, my dear sister, again, I want to thank you for being who you are and what you do, for bringing, agreeing to be interviewed impromptu, actually. It's so early in the morning. And
I said, I appreciate you reaching out because you're the first one to even ask me about the tribute. That's what I'm saying. You know, we don't seem to not care about the things that are present in our community. We only care about what's going on in Dakar and what's going on in Tuba, which are vitally important. But right now, we're in a struggle over here in the West every day.
That is so true. So, again, I thank you so much to the listening audience. You're listening to Race Treaty. I am one of the co-hosts on this program, this platform of activism. And you have been listening to the life and the journey of Queen Somaya Muel, who will be traveling to the United Nations tomorrow. That will be the 18th
February
4th. I don't know where I've jumped into the 18th. I'm getting ahead of myself. That'll be February 4th, inshallah, God willing. So everyone, thank you for listening in. We look forward to you staying in tune and spread the news. Let folks know that this station exists and that we are here for you. Everyone, have a good evening and good night.
My conscience won't let me go shoot my brother or some darker people or some poor hungry people in the mud for big powerful America and shoot them for what? They never called me nigger. They never lynched me. They never put no dogs on me. They never robbed me of my nationality. Raped and killed my mother and father. Well, I'm going to shoot them for what? How can I go shoot them? Them little poor little black people, little babies and children and women. How can I shoot them poor people? I'll just take me to jail.